Pande Guru Sri Charanara Vindam. Vande Guru Sri Charanara Vindam. Nana Shastra Vicharanaika Nipanao Sat Dharma Sangstapako Lokanang Hitakarina Tribhuvane Manyao Sharanyakaro Radha Krishna Padaravinda Bhajana Nandena Matalika Vande Rupa Sanatana Raguyago Sri Jiva Gopalako Vande Rupa Sanatana Raguyago Sri Jiva Gopalako. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pashtyatya Deshatarane Nectar of Devotion Chapter Number 2 Entitled The First Stages of Devotion. The three categories of devotional service, which Srila Rupa Goswami describes in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, are listed as devotional service in practice, devotional service in ecstasy, and devotional service in pure love of Godhead. And there are many subheadings in each of these categories. Generally, it is understood that in the category of devotional service in practice, there are two different qualities. Devotional service in ecstasy has four qualities, and devotional service in pure love of Godhead has six qualities. These qualities will be explained by Srila Rupa Goswami later on. In this connection, Srila Rupa Goswami suggests that the person eligible for Krishna consciousness or devotional service can be classified by his or her particular taste. Rupa Goswami says that devotional service is a continual process from one's previous life, for no one can take to devotional service unless he or she has had some previous connection with it. For example, suppose in this life I practice devotional service to some extent. Even though it is not 100% perfectly performed, whatever I have done will not be lost. For in my next life, from the very point where I stop in this life, I shall begin again. In this way, there is always a continuity. But even if there is no continuity, if only by chance a person takes interest in a pure devotee's instruction, he or she can be accepted and can advance in devotional service. Anyway, for persons who have a natural taste for understanding books like Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, devotional service is easier than for those who are simply accustomed to mental speculation and the argumentative process. To support this statement, there are many authoritative assertions by the learned scholars of bygone ages. And according to their general opinion, a person may become governed by certain convictions derived by one's own arguments and decisions. and then another person, who may be a greater logician, will nullify these conclusions and establish thus another thesis. In this way, the path of argument will never be safe or conclusive. Srimad Bhagavatam therefore recommends that one follow in the footsteps of the authorities. Here now is a general description of devotional service given by Sri Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Previously, it has been stated that devotional service can be divided into three categories: devotional service in practice, in ecstasy, and in pure love of God. Now, Srila Rupa Goswami proposes to describe devotional service in practice. Practice means employing our senses in some particular type of work. Therefore, devotional service in practice means utilizing our different sensory organs in service to Krishna. Some of the senses are meant for acquiring knowledge, and some are meant for executing the conclusions of our thinking, feeling, and willing. So practice means employing both the mind and senses in practical devotional service. This practice is not for developing something artificial. For example, a child learns or practices to walk. This walking is not unnatural. The walking capacity is there originally in the child, and simply by a little practice, the child walks very nicely. Similarly, devotional service to the Supreme Lord is the natural instinct of every living entity. Even uncivilized men like the Aborigines offer their respectful obeisances to something wonderful exhibited by nature's law, and they can appreciate that behind some wonderful exhibition or action, there is something supreme. So this consciousness, although lying dormant in those who are material contaminated, is thus found in every living entity. And when it is purified, it is called Krishna consciousness. There are certain prescribed methods for employing our senses and mind in such a way that our dormant consciousness for loving Krishna can be evoked, as much as the child with a little practice can begin to walk. One who has no basic walking capacity cannot walk by practice. So similarly, Krishna consciousness cannot be aroused simply by practice. Actually, there is no such practice, for when we wish to develop our innate capacity for devotional service, there are certain processes which, by our accepting and executing them, will thus cause the dormant capacity to be invoked. Such practice is called sadhana bhakti. Every living entity, under the spell of material nature, is held to be in an abnormal condition of madness. In Srimad Bhagavatam it is thus said, Nunam pramatta kurute vikarma yad indriya pritaya apranoti na sadhu manye yata atmano yam asan api klesha da asa deha. Generally, the conditioned soul is mad, because he or she is always engaged in activities which are the causes of bondage and suffering. Spirit soul, in his or her original condition, is joyful, blissful, eternal, and full of knowledge. Only by one's implication in material activities has one become miserable, temporary, and full of ignorance. And this is due to vikarma. Vikarma means actions which should not be done. Therefore, we must practice sadhana bhakti which means to offer Mangala Arati, deity worship, in the morning, to refrain from certain material activities, to offer obeisances to the spiritual master, and to follow many other rules and regulations, which will be discussed here one after another. These practices will help one become cured of madness. As a man's mental disease is cured by the directions of a psychiatrist, so this sadhana bhakti cures the conditioned soul of his or her madness under the spell of maya, or material illusion. Narada Muni mentions this sadhana bhakti in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 1st chapter, verse 32. Katamopi na venasyat panchanang purusham prati tasmat kenap upayena manak krishne niveshayat. Narada Muni says to King Yudhisthira, "My dear king, one has to fix his or her mind on Krishna by any means. So this is what is called Krishna consciousness. And it is the duty of the acharya, the spiritual master, to find the ways and means for the disciple to fix his or her mind on Krishna. That is the beginning of sadhana bhakti." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has thus given us an authorized program just for this purpose, centered around the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This chanting has so much power that it immediately attaches one to Krishna. That is the beginning of sadhana bhakti. Somehow or other, one has to fix the mind on Krishna. For example, the great Saint Ambarish Maharaj, although a responsible king, fixed his mind on Krishna. And similarly, anyone who tries to fix his or her mind in the same way will very rapidly make progress in successfully reviving one's original Krishna consciousness. Now, this sadhana bhakti, or practice of devotional service, may also be divided into two parts. The first part is called service according to regulative principles. One has to follow these different regulative principles by the order of the spiritual master or on the strength of authoritative scriptures, and there can be no question of refusal. That is called vaidhi, or regulated. One has to do it without argument. There is another part of sadhana bhakti, which is called raganuga. Raganuga refers to the point at which, by following the regulative principles, one becomes a little more attached to Krishna and executes devotional service out of natural love. For example, a person engaged in devotional service may be ordered to rise early in the morning and offer arati, which is a form of deity worship. In the beginning, by the order of one's spiritual master, one rises early in the morning and offers arati. But then, later, one develops real attachment. So when one gets this attachment, he or she then automatically tries to decorate the deity and prepare different kinds of dresses and thinks of different plans to prepare and execute one's devotional service nicely. In the beginning, by the order of his or her spiritual master, one rises early in the morning and offers arati. And then one develops real attachment. When one gets this attachment, he or she automatically tries to decorate the deity and prepare different kinds of dress and thinks of different plans to execute devotional service nicely. although it is within the category of practice, this offering of loving service is nonetheless spontaneous. So the practice of devotional service, sadhana bhakti, can be divided into two parts, namely regulative and spontaneous. Rupa Goswami defines the first part of devotional service, or Vaidhi Bhakti, as follows. When there is no attachment or no spontaneous loving service to the Lord, and one is engaged in the service of the Lord simply out of obedience to the order of the spiritual master, or in pursuance of the scriptures, such obligatory service is called Vaidhi Bhakti. The principles of Vaidhi Bhakti are also described in Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, 1st Chapter, verse 5, wherein Shukadeva Goswami instructs the dying Maharaj Parikshit as to his course of action. Maharaj Parikshit met Shukadeva Goswami just a week before his death, and the king was perplexed as to what should be done before he was to pass on. Many other sages also arrived there, but no one could give him the proper direction. Shukadeva Goswami, however, gave this direction to Maharaj Parikshit. Tasmad Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishwaro Hari Srotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavyas Cheshata Vayam. My dear king, if you want to be fearless in meeting your death next week, for actually everyone is afraid at the point of death, then, my dear king, you must immediately begin the process of hearing and chanting and remembering God. If one can chant and hear Hare Krishna and always remember Lord Krishna, then one is sure to become fearless of death, which may come at any moment. In the statements of Shukadeva Goswami, it is said that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Krishna. Therefore, Shukadeva recommends that one should always hear about Krishna. Shukadeva does not recommend that one hear and chant about the demigods. The Mayavadi impersonalists, they say that one may chant any name, either that of Krishna or those of the demigods, and they think the results will be the same. But actually, this is not the fact. According to the authorized version of Srimad Bhagavatam, one has to hear and chant about Lord Vishnu or Krishna only. So, Shukadeva Goswami has recommended to Parikshit Maharaj that in order to be fearless of death, one has to hear and chant and remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna by all means. Shukadeva also mentions that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is called Sarva Atma. Sarva Atma means the super soul of everyone. Krishna is also mentioned as Ishwara, or the Supreme Controller, who is situated in everyone's heart. In Bhagavad Gita, it is thus said, Na me bhakta pranashyati, meaning, anyone who becomes a devotee of the Lord is never vanquished. Others, however, are always vanquished. What does this vanquished mean? Vanquished means that after getting this human form of life, a person does not come out of the entanglement of birth and death, and thus misses his or her golden opportunity. Such a person does not know where he or she is being thrown by the laws of nature. Suppose one does not develop Krishna consciousness in this human form of life. He or she will be thrown into the cycle of birth and death, involving 8,400,000 species of life. And thus one spiritual identity will remain lost. One who does not know whether he or she is going to be a plant or a beast or a bird or something like that, because there are so many species of life. The recommendation of Rupa Goswami for reviving our original Krishna consciousness is that somehow or other we should apply our minds to Krishna very seriously and thus also become fearless of death. After death, we do not know our destination because we are completely under the controls of the laws of nature. Only Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the controller over the laws of nature. Therefore, if we take shelter of Krishna seriously, then there will be no fear of being thrown back into the cycle of so many species of life. A sincere devotee, therefore, will surely be transferred to the abode of Krishna, as affirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Mam upetya punar janma dukhalaya mashatpatam napnuvanti mahatmana sangsidhin paramangata. In the Padma Purana also, the same process is advised. Smartavyat satatam vishnur vismartavyo na jatuchit sarve vidhi nishedhasyur etayor eva kinkara. Thus it is said that one should always remember Lord Vishnu. This is called dhyana or meditation, always remembering Krishna. It is said that one has to meditate with one's mind fixed upon Vishnu. The Padma Purana recommends that one always fix his or her mind on the form of Vishnu by meditation and not forget him at any moment. This state of consciousness is called samadhi or trance. Therefore, we should always try to mold the activities of our lives in such a way that we will constantly remember Vishnu or Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. Whether one concentrates his or her mind on the four-handed form of Vishnu or on the form of two-handed Krishna, it is the same. The Padma Purana recommends, somehow or other, always think of Vishnu without forgetting him under any circumstance. Actually, this is the most basic of all regulative principles, for when there is an order from a superior about doing something, there is simultaneously a prohibition. So when the order is that one should always remember Krishna, the prohibition is that one should never forget him. Within this simple order and prohibition, all regulative principles are found complete. This regulative principle is applicable to all varnas and ashrams, or the castes and occupations of life. There are four varnas, namely the brahmanas, or priests and intellectuals, the kshatriyas, the warriors and statesmen, the vaishyas, businessmen and farmers, and the shudras, the laborers and servants. And there are also four standard ashrams, namely brahmacharya, student life, grihastha, householder, vanaprastha, retired, and sannyas, renounced. The regulative principles are not only for the brahmachari celibate students to follow, but are applicable for all. It doesn't matter whether one is a beginner, such as a brahmachari, or is very advanced, such as a sannyasi. the principle of remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead constantly and not forgetting Him at any moment is meant to be followed by everyone without fail. And if this injunction is followed, then all other rules and regulations will automatically fall into line. All other rules and regulations should be treated as assistants or servants to this one basic principle. The injunctions of rules and regulations and the resultant reactions are all mentioned in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th chapter, verses 2 and 3. Chamasamuni, one of the 9 sages who came to instruct Maharaj Nimi, addressed him, Muka Bahuru Padevya Pudushasyashramai Saha Chitvaro Jagyire Varna Gunayar Vipradaya Pritak Yeshang Pudusang Sakshad Atma Prabhavang Ishwaram Na Bhajanti Avajananti Sthanad Brashta Patanti Adha. The 4 social orders, namely Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Sudras, have come out of the different parts of the universal form of the Supreme Lord as follows. The Brahmanas have come out from the head, the Kshatriyas have come out from the arms, the Vaishyas have come out from the waist, and the Shudras have come out from the legs. Similarly, the sannyasis have come out from the head, vanaprastas from the arms, the grihastas from the waist, and brahmacharis from the legs. These different orders of society and grades of spiritual advancement are conceived in terms of qualification. It is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita that the 4 social orders and the 4 spiritual orders are created by Lord Krishna Himself in terms of different individual qualities. Chaturvanyang mayasristam gunakarma vibhagasha tasya kartanam apimam vidhi akartaram avyayam. As the different parts of the body have different types of activities, so the social orders and spiritual orders also have different types of activities in terms of qualification and position. The target of these activities, however, is always the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam, Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. So whether one is a Brahman or a Shudra, one has to satisfy the Supreme Lord by one's activities. And this is also confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Atak Pumbir Dvija Shrestha Varnashrama Vibhagasha Svanushvitasya Dharmasya Sansidhir Hari Toshanam. Everyone must be engaged in his or her particular duty, but the perfection of such work should be tested by how far the Lord is satisfied by such activities. The injunction herein is that one has to act according to one's own position, and by such activities one must either satisfy the Supreme Personality or else fall down from one's position. Shtanad brashta patanti adha. For example, a Brahmana who is born out of the head of the Lord has as his business preaching the transcendental Vedic sounds or Shabda Brahma. Because the Brahmana is the head, he has to preach the transcendental sound, and he also has to eat on behalf of the Supreme Lord. Thus, According to Vedic injunctions, when a Brahmana eats, it is to be understood that the personality of Godhead is eating through him. It is not, however, that the Brahmana should simply eat on behalf of the Supreme Lord and not preach the message of Bhagavad Gita throughout the world. Actually, one who preaches the message of Gita is very dear to Krishna, as confirmed in the Gita itself. Nachat tasman manushyesyu kaschinme priya kritama bhavita nachame tasmad anya priyataro bhuvi. Such a preacher is factually a Brahmana, and thus by feeding him, one feeds the Supreme Lord directly. Similarly, the Kshatriya has to protect people from the onslaughts of Maya. That is his duty. For example, as soon as Maharaj Parikshit saw that a black man was attempting to kill a cow, Parikshit immediately took his sword, wanting to kill the black man, whose name was Kali. That is a Kshatriya's duty. Violence is required in order to give protection. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna directly gave his order to Arjuna to commit violence on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, just to give protection to the people in general. Tasmat tvam utishta yasho labhasva jitva shatrum bhunksva rajam samriddham mayai vaite nihata purvam eva nimadda matram bhava sabya sachin dronancham bhishmancha jayadratancha karnam tathanyam api yoda viran maya hatang stvam chahima vyatishta yudyasva jetasi rane sapatna hato va prapsyasi svargam jitva va bhokshyase mahim tasmad utishta kaunteya yudhaya krita nishchaya tasmad agyana sambhutam hritstang jnanasinatmanam jitvainam sanshayam yogam atishto tishta bharata mayi sarvani karmani sanyas yad yatma chetasa nirashir nirmamo bhutva yudyasva vigata jvara sukha duke same kritva labha labhao jaya jayo tato yudhaya yudyasva naibam papam avapsyasi. The Vaishyas are meant for producing agricultural products, trading them and distributing them. And the working class or Shudras are those who haven't the intelligence of the Brahmanas or Kshatriyas or Vaishyas, and therefore they are meant to help these higher classes with their bodily labor. In this way, there is full cooperation and spiritual advancement among all the different orders of society. And when there is no such cooperation, the members of society will fall down. And this is the present position in Kali Yuga, this current age of quarrel. Nobody is doing their duty, and everyone is simply puffed up, calling oneself a Brahmana intellectual, Kshatriya soldier or statesman. But actually, such people are without status. They are out of touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why? Because they are not Krishna conscious. Therefore, the Krishna consciousness movement is intended to set the whole of human society in proper condition so that everyone will be happy and take profit from developing Krishna consciousness. Lord Sri Krishna thus instructed Uddhava, Varnasrama Vatang Dharma Esha Achara Lakshana Saeva Mad Bhakti Yuto Nisreyasa Kara Para. By following the injunctions of the social and spiritual orders of human society, one can satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as a result of such satisfaction, the whole society gets all the necessities of life amply and without difficulty. And this is because, after all, the Supreme Personality of Godhead maintains all other living entities, and thus he is known as Janardana. If the whole society performs its respective duties and remains in Krishna consciousness, there is no doubt that all of its members will live very peacefully and happily. Without wanting the necessities of life, the whole world will be turned into Vaikuntha, the spiritual abode. Even without being transferred to the kingdom of God, by following the injunctions of Srimad Bhagavatam and prosecuting the duties of Krishna consciousness, all of human society will be happy in all respects. And there is a similar statement by Sri Krishna himself to Uddhava in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 27th chapter, verse 9. There the Lord says, Evam kriya yoga patai puman vaidika tantrikai archan ubayata siddhin mato vindati abhipsitam. My dear Uddhava, all persons are engaged in activities, whether those indicated in the revealed scriptures or ordinary worldly activities. So if by the result of either such activities they worship me in Krishna consciousness, then automatically they will become very happy within this world as well as in the next. Of this there is no doubt. We can thus conclude from this statement of Krishna that activities in Krishna consciousness will give everyone all perfection of all desires. Thus, the Krishna consciousness movement is so nice that there is no need of even designating oneself a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, or Sannyasi. Let everyone be engaged in whatever occupation he or she now has. Simply let one worship Lord Krishna by the result of his or her activities in Krishna consciousness. That will adjust the whole situation, and everyone will be happy and peaceful within this world. In the Narada Pancharatra, the regulative principles of devotional service are described as follows. Any activity sanctioned in the revealed scriptures in aiming at the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are accepted by saintly teachers as the regulative principles of devotional service. If one regularly executes such service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master, then gradually he or she rises to the platform of serving in pure love of God. All glories to A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.